I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss all things election-related, the surprises, the expected results, and what's next. All that and much more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Blake Odd from Flagpole, Gwen O'Looney from WXAG, and Lee Shearer from the Athens Banner-Herald. So welcome, everybody. Welcome back, Lee. And we are going to discuss the election, and there were definitely some surprises. Should we start with the surprises?
There were many.
There were.
We have for the first time on our commission an accurate reflection of our population, our statistics. We have three African American commissioners for the first time, and
it's four women. Is that the most we've ever had?
Yes.
There are four now, I believe.
There are
Dickerson, Link, Wright, and Bell.
That's right.
Thank you, Blake.
Well, I think part of the reason is we haven't really looked at the commission. This is a huge change. This is the largest changeover I've ever seen. And so it really makes you look at that commission in a different way.
It's a tremendous move to the left. The progressive candidates overwhelmingly won most of these races. Kelly Gertz won the mayor's race by 30 points. Patrick Davenport upset Sharon Dickerson, the incumbent.
A very
in
big
District
surprise.
One.
That was certainly a surprise.
To beat an incumbent commissioner is not easy to do. Mariah Parker, who really is far to the left, won in District 2, Harry Simsel District.
And an outsider.
Who's only lived in the district for four years. Came in very late
into the race.
Right. So that surprised a lot of people. Melissa Link won re-election by 70-30, something like that, in District 5.
That would be a little bit closer, but it wasn't even.
No, it wasn't very close at all. Right. And, of course, Tony Eubanks has been involved in the community for a long time, but the voters really like, Melissa Link's outspoken style. So in District 5, Tim Denson won without a runoff, even though there are three people running, including the incumbent, Jared Bailey, who's also quite progressive. But Tim, again, a more vocal type of personality. In District 7, you had Russell Edwards, who was probably the most progressive candidate, again, endorsed by Athens for Everyone, won without a runoff with three people in the race. Ovita Thornton, endorsed by Athens for Everyone, won in District 9, Kelly Gertz's district. So I think out of all the races that they endorsed, I think all but one, the candidate that they endorsed
Two.
Won the race. Who was the other?
Two.
It was Imani Scott Blackwell in the school board race, and who was the other?
Richard Dean Winfield.
Okay. But that wasn't a local race, so I was just thinking about the local. So this is going to be, we have obviously a much more progressive mayor coming in, and he's going to have a very progressive commission who probably are going to push him from the left. Kelly's going to be in a position where, he's been pushing the current mayor from the left, and now I think he's going to get in office, and he's going to be more moderate than a lot of the commissioners that he's going to be working with who are really going to push him.
Well, I think it's really staff right now, they have 7 months to get ready to work with these people, to educate them about some of the things that are possible, to say what programs do you want us to look at.
And we have five new commissioners coming in January. Sorry, yes. I just wanted to say that.
But that's a big point.
Well, one's coming in June.
True. Mariah Parker will be sworn in earlier because hers was technically a special election.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, Gwen, go ahead.
No, I just think that it's really going to be important to give these people valid tools that have worked other places to do some of these things. Davenport's commitment to poverty is so strong. And there's some programs out there. There's some ways that we can, as a community, I think, address some of these things. But we need to take this energy and passion and put it to work, because I think this turnover is a huge reflection of the fact that Athens realizes that it's time for us to be doing some things that we have not been doing for a good while.
I talked to Russell Edwards today, and that was one of his big points. Not so much what to do, but do something. A lot of people, he thinks, are frustrated by not what the commission has been doing so much as what they have not been doing, the downtown plan and many other things, affordable housing, right, which comes up over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's right. And right. I think you're exactly right, Lee, and I think that extends really to the state and the federal government as well, where there's a sense that because there's such inaction or negative action on the part of the state government and the federal government that in Athens that we need to really take on and tackle all these other problems that they're not doing, related to things like immigration, for example.
Yeah, and I mean, mass transit we're doing a great job with, but there are always, progress. There's that new group of people that come into any situation. They have new eyes, and they see things that we have taken for granted. And
the one question I have is, will they be able to work together? Which I would think they will be able to, but each one has a little bit different priority, it seems like.
Right.
Like Davenport and poverty. And Tim Denson's first thing is the Anti-Discrimination Committee.
Yeah, and the fare free bus, and there's a lot of agreement there, and it was, I've never quite covered a race like this, but it was almost like a lot of these people ran almost as a slate, where you had Davenport, Parker, Link, Edwards, they campaigned together, I think they may have different priorities, but I think they all have very similar policy views, and so, if one... I think they will all support each other, is what I'm saying.
One of the ironies was that you're right that there were certain people, but Valentine was a part of that picture.
He was.
And Ovita was not, but Ovita was Athens for everyone. So it showed the strength of that group as far as working together. And a lot of people, I think, carried their suggestions, advice to the polls.
Yeah, they had the little sheet that you could clip out and take with you. And I think with the Ovita thing, that really came down to when you have two progressive candidates.
Right.
You might as well support the African-American woman because she is, that District 9 does have a lot of minority population. Right. And so.
And she has a long record in public office.
She has a perspective that is kind of lacking on the commission. So I think that was the reasoning there.
So who is this Athens for Everyone group anyway? They seem to be a very important politics here.
This is the group that grew out of Tim Denson's mayoral campaign in 2014, and if you've watched a commission meeting or been to one in the past 4 years, you have seen this group of 20-something and 30-somethings come to the podium and really speak out on the issues. And they've been canvassing, they're very good with numbers, they're very good with data, and they just made a huge impact on this race, I think.
Are we seeing a new generation? I think to some degree we are.
Yeah, and when you look at the ages of the people who were elected, Patrick's in his 30s, Mariah's in her 20s, Tim is in his 30s, Russell's in his 30s. So all these people except Ovita Thornton are, 38 or younger.
Right. Yes. And I think that's really good. That not only does our new commission reflect more accurately our racial population, but also our age.
The median age of Athens is 27.
That's right.
And Kelly is, what's Kelly, 44, 45?
Probably, yeah.
So he's a little bit older than his crew, but he's certainly young to be mayor. He was elected commissioner when he was in his 30s. So, he's sort of the elder statesman of this movement, really, you could say, in a way.
Yeah. I'm really excited because, like you were saying, they all have different things that they've talked about, but there are a lot of shared goals and shared values among this group, and including Ovita. And so I really believe that Kelly will have an easier time than you think because of his personality in bringing them together and identifying what priorities they can take and succeed with and keep working together. I'm so excited. I think Athens is so smart. And a number of the other races, they showed a real understanding of some things that are very sophisticated. They show they do not like negative advertising. And I felt like they don't forget. I thought it was really interesting.
Don't forget what?
Well, for instance, Regina Quick saying that she was a Democrat when she was elected here and then going down to the legislature and being such a strong Republican and being
really... I don't think Regina said she was a Democrat.
No, she said that she was a moderate and that she would, that she, supporting her as a Democrat. You know, we all were Doug,
right.
Mad at Doug.
Those were two more Athens for Everyone endorsements, too. They endorsed their incumbent appointed by the governor, Eric Norris.
And he won.
The challenger to the incumbent appointed by the governor, Regina Quick.
Mm-hmm. So Lisa Lott, was that a surprise to anyone that Lisa Lott won?
I thought that was going to be a very close race. Mm-hmm. I could sense that Lisa Lott was getting a lot of support. She's a public defender. You know, she's very well known in the community. She raised quite a bit of money, and she campaigned very hard.
She's very local, pro-local.
Yes,
and then
Regina having
such a strong Republican background, I think that Lisa Lott was able to make that clear without coming out and saying it, that, you know, it was a Democratic versus Republican kind of race. But it did surprise me because it's very hard to unseat a judge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's almost
unheard of. But she managed to do it. So
yes.
And by 10 points, you know, right. It wasn't even particularly close.
Right. She didn't kind of eke it out there.
No.
She actually came out strong.
Well, if you look at it, though, a whole bunch of people waited. 12,000 out of the 18,000 plus waited till that election day to vote. And the last thing they saw of Regina Quick was that very negative. Mailing,
attacking Lisa Lott for all of the positions
rejected,
that she's applied for in the past.
Where explanations of some of those things don't make it look bad.
Basically,
at all.
Implying that she's just ambitious and wants to be a judge at any cost.
Right.
I think that did backfire. And you do not do negative campaigning in Athens. It does not. And if you look at all the other races. You know, they all stayed positive, almost to a fault.
Because it's
so positive that you almost can't even disagree on policy. You know, it's considered impolite. And I think that makes it really hard for the voters to make a decision. But that's the way it is.
We're so
nice to each other that we can't even disagree on issues.
I will say the mayor's race
rude.
Might have been, fairly positive, but at least they did. There were
they
like
made
different, you could see the distinctions.
But you really had to observe them for a period of time to really figure out the differences. And a lot of that had to do, I think, with Harry Sims not really having a lot of policy positions. And Kelly, of course, has all the 5-point plans and he's real wonky. And Harry just really campaigned more on a style than a style of governing, really more so than a platform.
And all the goodwill he has built up in 30 years.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I can tell you in the Elvita Thornton and Tommy Valentine race, they were on the show and they had such similarities. They were saying, well, ditto and ditto.
Yeah.
They were quite pleasant, but they agreed on so many things that either way, I think people would have been happy with the candidate.
I don't think we could have lost in that race.
Right.
Tommy Valentine's wonderful. Beaters, you know,
yeah,
we
I don't
did
think
very well.
Anyone would have considered it a loss because they're so similar. If you support it, yeah.
But I will say this. We heard from the mayors. They had over 13 different debates.
We're going to have to cut
so
that number
on and on
next
and
year.
On.
Let's cut it. I vow we'll work with organizations who want to combine their forums and debates.
And nobody knew what the other was doing because I got all these emails from people being like, is there really a forum on this day? I was setting up a forum on this day.
Right.
You know? And you're like, come on, guys, how many of these things do we need to do?
But the other thing is those district commissioners, they never had a chance to say anything more than a minute. They never had a chance to delineate themselves or to get into specifics related to these global issues.
Yeah, because you put them all up on stage and there's 14 of them.
Right.
Right.
You know, and even if you give them an hour and a half, that's 6 minutes apiece to talk,
I think
it
we
really
should
was
look
no
more
time.
In district races, and that way we'll get more attention in each one of the districts.
I can say, Gwen, that I tried to do my part. I had every candidate running for district commissioner on the show. Each district was on, and they got to really speak about what they
Think
planned.
You definitely did do your part.
And I was able to do that. Now, I wasn't able to do all the forums.
But yeah, you know, that was a valuable service. Yeah. And I mean, when we did, you know, we did an article in Flypole about every single commission race.
Yes, which was so great. Had lots of background.
Right.
What about the governor's race? What about November and July 1st?
Yeah, what's
any
next?
Any surprises in any of that?
Well, I think July will be I think these two guys will kill each other.
What do you mean, kill each other?
I think that they are the kind of people that will do whatever, especially Brian, will do whatever is needed, and I think it could get really nasty.
It's going to be all about immigration, and look how far they've gone already. You know, Brian Kemp is talking about he's going to round up the illegals in his pickup truck.
In his pickup truck. Those are so
maybe he can borrow the bus from Michael Williams.
The bus broke down, unfortunately, the deportation bus. But
which is hardcore.
And it's only going to get worse. We got 9 weeks, and they're just going to go further. It's like, how far to the right can you get? You know, just when you think that there's no more space, like they just bust down a wall and they keep moving. And that's definitely good for the Democrats. You know, Stacey Abrams is going to have 9 months to kind of sit back and reload and go out and raise a bunch of money, and in the meantime, the Republicans are all going to be putting themselves in an even worse position for November than they already are.
And I think the African American voters will be very energized come November.
Well, we saw the African American vote in the Democratic primary was sky high.
Yes.
I think I read something in AJC last week where the early voting among African Americans was up 60% from 4 years ago.
That's tremendous.
That's wonderful.
Which was much higher than the white vote was up like 30%. Right. But you know, definitely
and
a lot of enthusiasm.
I think that's the answer to Tabitha
Johnson Green.
Thank you.
Entirely possible.
I think that
the mystery candidate
has to be almost because. That's the only network I can see yielding this level of support.
Well, you know, we talked about surprises, so we got to go back a minute. You know, there was a big surprise in the 10th congressional district primary where,
Not on the Republican side.
Jody Heiss, you know, sailed as everyone knew would happen, but. On the Democratic side, everyone thought it was Richard Winfield and Chalice Montgomery duking it out, and here comes Tabitha Johnson Green out of nowhere, wins 50.2% and wins without a runoff. This woman who nobody has ever heard of, didn't raise any money, doesn't have a website. You know,
has a car that breaks down so she can't get to debates. I'm really interested. I can't wait to meet her.
Neither of the other two candidates were even really close. And those are the ones that I thought were the front runners. I thought they'd be duking it out. Shows you what I know about
politics.
Right. But shows you what I know about politics.
The ones that we thought were front runners were far back.
Right.
Right. But even in Athens. You know,
she won 30% in Athens.
I know.
And no one in Athens has ever even heard of her.
Well,
30%
of the voters have.
Well, that's right.
Well, you know, one thing is she's first on the ballot. Believe it or not,
that doesn't hurt.
If when people walk into there's been research done on this. When people walk into the booth, you know, you walk in and you want to vote for governor and you get down to a race where you don't know anything about the candidates, most people just vote for the first one alphabetically. You know, that's how we got. I don't know if anybody remembers Alvin Green in South Carolina, you know, the mystery candidate who won the Democratic nomination for the Senate a few years ago and was just like a bus driver or something who put his name on the ballot and never even bothered to campaign. And he won the nomination because he was first on the ballot.
First on the ballot.
Oh, my God.
Against, a state senator.
Ridley will
like
never
that.
Be first on a ballot if I choose to run. I'm
going Odd will. I should take advantage of that.
Odd, you are there. But, you know, I interviewed her. I was able to interview all of the challengers and Jody Heiss for the 10th district. Uh-huh. And she said she was for the people. That's Tabitha Johnson Green who we're talking about. She said she was for the people and that politicians are far removed from the average person. And she wanted to represent people who she felt had no voice. And she counted herself in that group. But she certainly performed so strongly that I think it was surprising when you go by conventional logic.
Some of the people that have no voice are not necessarily minorities, or but they're people who live in what we call in the country, rural areas.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, and she won. And she won this race in all of these tiny counties, you know, 300 or 400 votes at a time in all these tiny counties, a lot of which are very Republican, and you know, just pieced together 300 votes here, 400 votes there, you know, and it turned into 50%.
The 50%.
She won. Once she won. Again. I think 23 out of the 26 counties in the district.
Right.
Wow. Well, you just have to sit there for a minute. That's huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we don't have to sit there any longer, but I just wanted to pause.
Have a quiet moment.
Have a moment and just say.
Well, I think we should have a quiet moment of respect for, like, you know, this is like Donald Trump. He came out of, you know, no one expected, nobody gave him credit, you know, and he came out.
She is not like Donald Trump.
We were just
Politically speaking, she's the Democratic Paul Brown.
That's right. Okay,
you know,
that's a good, yeah.
Just came out of nowhere, shocked everyone.
Yeah.
You know, just in that sense, not in the sense of her politics.
But no, yeah. Not at all.
Yeah, not in the sense of their
poor Tabitha.
Very strange politics.
Right, poor Tabitha. Right. But, you know, it's exciting to me that we are in a situation. We had a 28% voting in May. Mm-hmm. And when the Republicans set this up to where we were voting on people that were supposedly nonpartisan election, we had all these primary, you know, when they set that up, they really did not expect that people would turn out in May and November. And I think we really, I think that they primed the pump. I think what do you think?
I just have to disagree about 28% being a good turnout. I think it's an embarrassment to our community that 28% of people turned out to elect a new mayor and commission. When you had 6 contested commission races, you know, and mm-hmm. not to mention the primaries, which I understand a lot of people don't really care who the nominee is.
Gwen is talking about history, you know, okay. That perspective, it is.
That's large
better.
Compared to what people normally right. do in May.
It's true. Right. Which, it is right. a little bit higher than it's been in the past, but I still think it's embarrassingly low.
Yeah, it is. I mean, across the nation, but well, Chase Street was over 50%, but it was the highest in the county.
Go Chase Street.
Yeah, that's my district. But the county did very well, y'all. The county showed very interesting to me. Winterville and all of them, they turned out big time. And it makes me, I mean, I'm really curious to look at the demographics of the turnout because of Davenport and the surprise there.
Well, one thing I thought was interesting was that District 1 was one of the highest turnout districts.
And that's unusual.
And that is unusual. But when you look at, you know, and I don't have a racial breakdown, but when you look at the districts with the largest African-American populations, which are 2, 3, and 9, you know, those were the 3 lowest turnout districts that I think that were contested in the commission race. So, you know, we were talking about African-American enthusiasm. I think that's true at the state level, but I don't think that really held true here in Clark County.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Well, there were a lot of people that were saying that if they only got like 400 votes, they could win because that was the tradition for this time, you know, date for the primary this early. And I was so discouraged by that would be a deciding number. But that didn't happen here. We did a much better job than they predicted.
Yeah, some of these races had 2,000, 2,500 right. voters. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you see, though, where they say every vote counts, because wasn't the difference between Mariah?
13 votes.
Right. 13th
but if you look at District 2 had a total of 1,263 votes in that race.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at 7, which is kind of 5 points, Macon Highway area, 2,903. So
yeah,
more than twice as many people voted in 7, which is a very white district than in 2, which is the highest African-American population district.
Right. Well,
I am changing the subject, I guess. I'm really looking forward to the governor's race because is going to be covered by national media.
Mm. Right.
It's going to be a really big deal because of the issues, because of who the candidates are going to be and what they've stood up for.
The fact that we have the first, potentially the first female African-American governor in the nation running, who's shown herself and the reason.
Well,
I
we
think,
do have the first one running, but.
Well, I guess yeah. she's been nominated, but yeah. and she's been, one of the big reasons I think she won the primary is she has been very adept at drawing national attention to herself. And she's almost running a national campaign. And she's fundraising nationally, and she's getting a lot of stories, very glowing profiles written about her in national publications. Mm-hmm. And that's probably something that can be used against her in the general, but it's a very interesting strategy, I think, where you're running almost, she's almost running a presidential campaign
for
Governor of Georgia.
But the two Republican candidates will have plenty that can be used against them, too. I mean, they're about guns and immigration, and I don't know what else.
That's right.
That's about all they talked about
yes.
so far.
Yeah.
Right. Negatives.
They wouldn't consider it negative. They were defending
yeah. the Constitution.
Right to have guns and the da da da, all that.
Right.
And I remember the Delta situation with KCK was very successful in, you know, preventing Delta from getting that tax break on the fuel. And then Brian Kemp wanted to go further.
Right. Brian's always trying to one up KCK.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
interesting.
Right.
Does Kemp have a chance? In the runoff?
He might. The candidate who finishes second actually tends to do better than the candidate who... It is.
It's not true.
It is.
We'll
usually the
here.
Second the second
well, they
place
do better,
the second
but they
place
don't
candidate
win.
Makes up ground. And
but they don't win.
Well, I was about to say, I don't
okay,
think he's
sorry.
Close enough. I don't think he's close enough to overtake Cagle. I think he needed to be closer to start with. But
Hunter Hill and Tippins, would they be more moderate? I don't know the answer to this, but who are their voters going to go to now?
Tippins probably, I do think he ran as a more moderate candidate, so I would say his people go to Cagle and Hill's probably go to Kemp. You know, but there is a feeling in the Republican Party of like, it, you know, there's a faction that's like anybody but Casey. You know, there's that going on too.
Right.
It's hard to tell.
But Brian Kemp has not been popular in the Capitol. He really hasn't. You try to go to Secretary of State's office and get results of our county, for instance. I mean, you know, he's not done a good job of the job that so many people, you know, judge that office. But that may not even be mentioned if he's pulling off his gun and it's blowing up his backyard and those kind of things.
And he's used it to his advantage, too, in a way, because...
He's running as an outsider.
You know, he's had the opportunity to engage in a lot of voter suppression, which is very popular among Republicans who don't think that you know, black and brown people or Democrats right. in general should really be allowed to vote. So, you know, that's almost a selling point for Brian
wow.
in a primary.
That demographic is shrinking, however.
Right. Well, we're going to leave it right there, Lee. That's it for today's show. I do want to thank my guests. Blake Odd with Flagpole, Gwen O'Looney with WXAG, and Lee Shearer with the Athens Banner-Herald. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, WXAG, Flagpole, or the Banner-Herald. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.